And so we're going to, if you will, turn in the Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. So 1 Peter chapter 2. This morning we'll be starting in verse 4. So 1 Peter, I almost said Hebrews. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 says this: "As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." They stumble, I should say offense, not offense, but you know. "They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And so here we are in the book of Peter. Peter starts off writing about this wonderful new creation. We've been radically changed into someone different because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And then he moves from there and starts to speak to the radical new life that we have in him. And so we're there part of that section, and it gives us here the idea of what the Christian life is about. I mean, it gives us some physical picture, some wonderful illustrations, but I don't know if you noticed here, in verse 4 it says, "As you come to him." How many of you noticed that? Were you like me, too busy looking at what it means to be a living stone or a royal priesthood? I mean, that's really, you know, those are really big, interesting illustrations, right? What does it mean to be a living stone? Have you ever seen a living stone before? Or what does it mean for the Christian to be a royal priesthood? But I want you to put that aside just for a moment, because we'll get there. But I want you to see in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "As you come to him." Don't gloss over those little parts of sentences, those little clauses that just set the tone for everything. Make sure that as you read and study, you see what's there. So Peter is talking about us and this radical change that happens in our life, okay? He wants us to pursue holiness. He wants us to be like God because God is holy. Excuse me. There'll be more of that this morning. And so he's showing us what he wants, what he's like. And then he says this: "As you come to him." Peter's assuming something, right? What does Peter assume? You can go. That people are coming. Let's make it just a little bit more specific here. What does Peter assume about Christians? People who believe. That they will follow. Peter here assumes discipleship. He assumes that this is the case in your life and mine. Now, I know that there are times in my life when I'm not following like I should. I'm sure that you've been there. As you come to him, this is part of the goal of the Christian life. As we are saved, as we become believers, as we experience this new radical change, Peter assumes that we are walking to him, that we are, in fact, on this path to become like him. And so let's start there. I can ask you the question now. I mean, it's right here. If I see this as you come to him, what does that mean? What about me in my life? So we go from, you know, Peter assumes people are coming to him, then we look at the context, and then we say, more than just people, Peter assumes that Christians are coming to him or being made disciples. Well, let's bring it personal. Let's bring it down even further. What about me? You find yourself this morning advancing toward Christ. Do you find yourself this morning reading his word, taking it to heart, and through the power of the Spirit, engaging in the change that he suggests? Don't miss that fact there of what Peter assumes. As you come to him, he says, then he defines who that him is, right? A living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. As you come to him, and then he again stops, and he defines who Christ is here. Who is Christ? Who is this Jesus person that we're following? What is it about him? Well, he says, he is this living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Okay, so Jesus is communicated as a living stone. Now, what in the world is Peter talking about? What is Peter saying when he calls Jesus a living stone? Well, you're absolutely right. Yeah, he is the cornerstone, and we're going to see that, but that Jesus is the foundation of the church. He's the foundation of us. Okay, but what is so different? excuse me, about this stone? It's living. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, stones don't have heartbeats. No, I haven't checked. The Rolling Stones. Now, the last time I knew, rocks did not breathe. What is it about Jesus that makes him living? What is it about Jesus that makes him living? Okay, let's start this an easier question. Let's skip ahead a couple of, or a clause here. And the Bible says, like Jesus, we are living. Wait a minute, what does it mean about us to be living? He lives in us. It's because of his life that we can live. Now, what is it so special about Jesus' life? He was raised from the dead. Peter is looking back and he's talking about as we come to him, we are going to be like him because of his resurrection, because the power that's bound up in this radical life change because of who he is. He is a living stone. He is no longer dead. He is alive. Alive and well. He is active. When we excuse me. When we look at something and we describe it as living, we expect it to be doing something, right? Rather than just existing. I mean, really, let's think about the creation around us. Okay? If something is living, what does it do? It breathes. Okay. What else does it do? I mean, what are the purposes of having trees? We get production of oxygen, shade, shelter. It inhales, it lives. Yeah, it eats. Even things that are inanimate, that don't move around, we consider them, they have a purpose, right? But when we consider somebody, excuse me, alive, where'd she go? There she is. My lovely wife. I'm going to embarrass her. That's okay. Thank you. You're only as good as, a man is only as good as his wife, right? I've got a pretty good foundation, that's right. Oh, that's right. Okay, now let's see if I can continue. He says here, as you come to him, a living stone, okay, we're talking about the resurrection of Christ. He's active, he has a purpose, he's doing things. Then it says here that he is rejected by men. Okay? And we understand that pretty well, don't we? That Jesus is rejected by men. Okay? Specifically when and where? During his ministry. Right. The Bible says in John that he was, he came into his own, but his own did not receive him. He was rejected. Jesus' purpose on this earth went against everything that mankind did. And so this should actually speak to us as we advance in our own lives, as we keep walking and trudging forward. You know, it's not necessarily the most popular thing in the world, right? If you try to be right and do what God wants, you're going to meet with your own rejection. Because we're like him. But he says here, but in the sight of God. Doesn't that make you feel just a little bit better as you start thinking about who Jesus is and who we're supposed to be in him? He says, Jesus was, in the sight of God, chosen. Jesus was chosen. Now, I am going to give you one of my presuppositions here as I look into this text, and I'm just going to tell you what I think chosen means. I don't think that there's Jesus and standing in a line there by himself, and God says, what am I going to do about this situation and this creation that I've done? And I guess I pick you. I don't think that's what we're talking about here. As we look at who Jesus is, God is not saying that he picked Jesus, eklektos. God is saying that Jesus is choice. Okay? So it means the same, same word. Has the same range of meaning, Jesus' choice. What does it mean for something to be choice? The best, okay? Now, when I originally was thinking about this, I was like, oh, it's just like grading beef, right? Because we see that in the stores all the time. It's choice. Well, it's not really like grading beef because they use different words and different terms, right? Because choice in the beef world is not necessarily the best. So I was like, ah, that doesn't work so good. But, you know, it's my rural upbringing that brought that out in me. I don't know. But in a similar way, Jesus is choice and he's precious. Notice the way that Peter describes who Jesus is. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, choice and precious. And he switches up again. As you come to him, you yourselves like living stones. So Jesus is identified as a living stone. You yourselves are living, like living stones, like Christ, because of what? What is it that makes us like Christ? Absolutely right. It's spiritual life. Because Jesus died and rose again, and his promise was, if I go, I'm going to send you what? Someone else. Okay? He gave us spiritual life. We're no longer dead in sins, but we're alive. In fact, the Bible says we've been resurrected with him, and we now live with him in Christ. And so he's comparing us here to Jesus. And so he's telling us that we are like him, living stones. And he gives us this purpose. He says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Okay. Whoop. Now we've moved on with the illustration. What is Jesus communicating here? When he says, you, like living stones, are now being built up into a spiritual house. Got temple here and foundation for the Holy Spirit, the church, okay? So, he says here that we, believers, those who have been born again into Christ, are living stones. And it would have been really kind of cool as an illustration this morning to bring up, I thought about bringing out my daughter's blocks. She has those big Duplo blocks, you know, and just say, here, you know, here's a block. And you can imagine with me, you've got imaginations, right? Yeah, pink, red, blue, whatever color it is, here it is. You know, in and of itself, it's kind of a cool thing, but you can't really do much with it, right? Right. Good. But you get that one little block, and you put it together with other little blocks, and you can do what with stuff? What do you do with them? You build stuff, which is really amazing. My girls love those girl Legos. We all, you know, there used to be this stereotype that Legos are for boys. Everybody likes to build stuff, okay? And Jesus is here just talking to us about this. Jesus here is talking about us being living stones together, being built up into a spiritual house. Now, what does this tell you about the nature of the church? What does it tell you about the importance of the family? Okay, we need each other for support. Absolutely. We are what comprises the church. Are you saying that this building is not the church? Yes, correct. You are right, sir. Thank you. What is this saying about the church? That we need to be together. Okay? The church are, you know, the church are the called out ones. set apart for a specific purpose. And here he says we're a spiritual house. Now, what does that mean? A spiritual house. We use the adjective spiritual, it modifies what noun? It is a metaphor. It calls us a spiritual house. The adjective spiritual modifies the noun house, right? So what does it mean to be spiritual? Spirit. The Spirit is here. Now, the Spirit works for individuals. I'm not going to deny that. I know it to be absolutely true. But as I look at 1 Peter here, I see this. He says, you are a spiritual house. I think there's a sense in which the Spirit works through the church in a great way. But it takes us being together. It takes us as a church doing things. Okay, we have a purpose. We're not a dead stone. He says we are like living stones. We have a specific purpose. We must be together. I'm not just saying here that it's important for us to be here together on Sunday morning when we have church. But as believers, we need to be in each other's lives. We need to meet with each other on a regular basis. We need to act as the church through the week, through the year. We need to be active because we are like Christ. We are like living stones being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Excuse me again. What does it mean to be a holy priesthood? Okay, number one, holy means to be set apart. Okay, what is a priesthood? What do? They minister, serve. Okay? Our job together is to serve God. As a spiritual, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so I guess we need to ask the question, what are these spiritual sacrifices? What does it mean to be a spiritual house, a spiritual priesthood, worshiping, serving, offering spiritual sacrifices? Because in the Old Testament, only the priests could offer sacrifices, right? So only a small segment of God's people could actually go in into the presence of God and offer a sacrifice. Small segment. But now, because of Jesus Christ, anyone who believes becomes a part of him and is like the spiritual stone, okay, the living stone. He's like the being built up in a spiritual house. We are priests. There's a spiritual priesthood. We have a service to him to offer spiritual sacrifices. Okay? Again, the adjective is spiritual. Okay? These sacrifices are spiritual in nature. Okay? Where do they come from? They come from the power of the Spirit. They come through the illumination of the Spirit, these things that we're supposed to be doing. So what kind of things are we supposed to be doing? Does this remind you of another passage? Reminds me of another passage. Romans 12, thank you. In fact, we were going through some of this stuff in Sunday school this morning, but Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Ah, now, Paul, he takes this analogy just a little differently. So Peter says, we're the priests and we offer spiritual sacrifices. Paul says, hey, we are the spiritual sacrifices, holy and acceptable, set apart. We've seen that somewhere, right? Okay, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Interesting. Then he says, he goes on to clarify what he's saying. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable. Okay, great, Paul, thanks for helping, but that doesn't really talk about what I need to be doing, right? How does this play out in my day by day? Paul answers this question. He goes on, he says, for the grace given to me, I say with one another, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Spiritual sacrifice. What is it? Humility. What? Wait a minute. Humility is a state of who I am, not a sacrifice I give to worshiping God. What? No, it is a sacrifice. Right? Yeah. Because I'm sacrificing, you know, Paul says here that we are a living sacrifice. We're to present our bodies. That means I need to have somebody else live out somebody else's purposes other than my own. I'm not the end all of my life. It's Jesus. I'm living my life for the purpose of serving him. Okay? Humility is a part of that. Lowering my estimation of who I am is a part of that. Okay, there's more he says here. But think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned for us. In one body we have many members, and members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Okay. Again, he's talking about, you know, Paul here is talking about the church. These are almost parallel passages, aren't they? It's like that Paul and Peter got together with their heads one day. Maybe, I don't know where they were. You pick a spot, Antioch, Galatia, Jerusalem, wherever they happen to be. And they, you know, maybe one day met up and say, hey, let's talk about what it means to be the church. And so as Paul writes, or Peter writes, he says, hey, This house, this is a spiritual house built of living stones. You're the stones. You're the priest. Your job is to offer spiritual sacrifices. Paul says, look, you are the sacrifices, and this is how it goes. First of all, you need to have humility. I love it when scriptures come together and they're so parallel, and yet they offer so many different kinds of routes for us to go. What else does he say here? Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. Here it's suggested that that the church, the body of Christ, is the place. I shouldn't really say place, should I? This family is the... I'm trying to find a different word than place. It just doesn't work out real well. The setting. Yeah, it's really hard to communicate this in English, isn't it? But right here, these people that you see around you, because they are Christians, we're a local body of Christians that meet together for worship and a spiritual sacrifice. But these are the people upon whom and with whom you get to exercise your spiritual gifts. Wait a minute, I don't have any gifts. Yes, you do. One of the gifts of the Spirit upon salvation, okay, we get a spiritual gift that we have the opportunity to grow in, to exercise, and have a purpose here in this body. What are you telling me, Pastor? You mean I need to be active, helping and ministering to people? Absolutely. Because it's part of who we are. You know, we don't just come to church because it's what we were raised to do. We don't come to a building to sit and listen to some guy speak. We don't come to listen to just sing songs because we like to sing. I like to sing. We come to serve and to minister to one another. That is the importance of the family of God. It is the importance of looking at each other and understanding that we together are this spiritual house where we can serve. So as you come to God, as you come to Him, Jesus, who is a living stone that the builders rejected, but in the sight of God, He was choice, precious. You, like spiritual stones, or living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house. That's what Peter said. And if I wanted to, we could go back into Romans chapter 12 and look at all the stuff that Paul says there. Number one, it's an extra place to exercise your gift. Number two, it's a place where we get to exercise the love that God loves us with, right? I mean, that's our job. We're to take the love of God and use it on other people. It's just what we do because we are in Him. We have that ability. Again, this is a place where we learn and exercise the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, gentleness, peace, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I know I got them out of order, sorry. But do you understand what I'm getting at? What would it mean for you personally, as one of these individual little building blocks, living building blocks, what would it mean for you to minister to the rest? Okay? Not only do we minister to the body, but we also minister to those outside of the body. When we go to influence the people around us. Okay, because he talks about this here. The spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God through Jesus, for it says in Scripture. Peter uses a couple of quotes from Isaiah 28:16, from Psalm 118, 22, and Isaiah 8:14. Again, Paul uses the same thing in Romans 9:33. You can look all this up. It's a big theme in Scripture, being this idea of the cornerstone, Jesus being the foundation of the church. He says, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, a choice one, one that stands out far beyond the others, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. Okay, so we are with Him. We have that honor. Okay, have you ever thought of your service, your spiritual service, and in Christ, being in Christ as part of this house is an honor? Might help you think of things a little differently. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be a part of this family. What would we do if we were to live with that mentality? That it's our honor to serve this. Serve each other. But to those who don't believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, or the foundation by which everything else is measured, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Okay. Those who disobey the word are destined to stumble. Okay? Not hard to understand. But you, he says, are a chosen race. He again goes back to our identity as a group. Notice the group. Okay? I know a lot of times in our American context, we like to think individually. Okay? I like my 3 foot of space just like anybody else. Right? Brother Hinnon. But there's a sense in which we must be together. It's like Roger meets everybody with a hug. Okay, he overcomes that space. We are one of another. We have a place to serve here. He says, you are a choice. I'm going to keep using that word instead of chosen. You are a choice, because it's the same word, race. Okay, wait a minute. Why does he use the word race? Because if I remember right, Genesis says there's only one race, right? The human race. But now he calls us, being in the church, a choice race. Why would he use that word? Because we're set apart, we're different. Because we have the Spirit of God living in us. We are a new creation. We've been made totally different from who we were in the past. You are a choice race. A royal priesthood. Okay? All right, now let's kind of get our thinking around this. A royal priesthood. We minister to the king, or we are royalty. I'm not sure about that one. Both, maybe. Being a part of the family of God, being adopted as the sons of God. He is the king, and so therefore being like him, it's not hard to see royalty there. A priesthood ministering to him. What an honor, what a glorious position for us to be in. The question for us is, are we taking advantage of that opportunity? Of being together, ministering to one another, getting into each other's lives, becoming stronger together in him through the power of the Spirit. A holy nation, one that is set apart. A people for his own possession. Now this is really sounding very Jewish, isn't it? Anybody recognizing these Jewish overtones? Why do you think that Peter is starting to use these Jewish overtones? It's not because the church has replaced Israel, right? We don't believe that the church has replaced Israel. Israel is still God's chosen people. But why does he use these terms in talking about the church? Huh? They used to be Jews. Could be. It's a good idea. How about these are the people whom God is working through right now? You see, when the Jews rejected Jesus, Jesus said, great, you know what? I'm done with you for now. I'm going to set you aside. I will come back to you later. Revelation. Now I'm going to work through a different people, the church. Those who would believe in who Jesus Christ is. This group of people who are called out to be living stones for a certain purpose. He calls them a people for his own possession. For this purpose, that they might do what? You may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, I'm gathering, and maybe you are too, I hope you are, but this is what I get from this, that as a church, we should be serving and ministering to each other, and that as servants, as ministers, as priests of the Most High God, we are proclaiming his excellencies. What does that mean, to proclaim the excellencies?
to speak of his greatness.
Okay. So, proclaim means to shout it out.
Speak it. It's a part of our vocabulary. It's who we are. We proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness, where we were, into his marvelous light, where we are. I think he uses the light terms there because we get to reflect who he is. As we become like him, as we come to him, we recognize who we are in him. And so then we get to serve and proclaim who he is. And we reflect it. You know, in Romans, and I'm thinking back to Sunday school, it makes it really easy whenever your passage is lined up for Sunday school and church, right? But one of the things he says there in in Romans chapter 12, he says, you need to love. As a spiritual sacrifice, you're serving. So we're looking out for the good of other people. It's a spiritual sacrifice. It's what we get to do. We reflect who he is. And when you start thinking in those terms, we start understanding when Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave. He sacrificed of himself. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Really reminds me of the names of the book of Amos. Those of you who have done a little Hebrew work, read about my people and not my people. Another cross-reference you can go here. Becoming from enemies of God to those under the mercy of God. To being called into his family. This is who we are. If we understand this, what should it do to us? Or what should we do because of this? How should it affect us? Day by day, moment by moment. Maybe you have the thought, you know, I'm not really connected to my family, the church, as I should be. How are we going to reconnect? Maybe it is that I've been not living like a living stone. Maybe it is I've been more of a dead stone. I've not been following the purpose that I've been created for, which is really kind of interesting too if you think about it in our job as living stones and proclaiming the excellencies of him. What did Jesus say when he was on his triumphal entry and the Jews, some of the Pharisees were saying, hey, tell the crowd to quiet down. What did he say? If I make these people quiet, even the stones will cry out. That's an interesting cross-reference too. What does that mean for me though, as a living stone? What does it mean in my daily life, at my work, at my house, in my neighborhood, you know, with my kids or with my neighbor's kids? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for us to be connected in that way? And how is it that we can pursue that connectedness? There's lots of things that we can do. But what works for you? What gift has God given you to minister to the body? How are you going to do that? Because I know we only have a couple of hours here on Sunday morning. Three-ish, depending on how long I preach, right? And we fill up this 3 hours with Sunday school at 9. We have that fellowship, that short half-hour fellowship from 10 to 10:30. And then we have this, where most people are not talking. It's just me, right? So how in the world do we build each other up? How do we resemble what Jesus is talking about in 1 Peter? Peter's talking about. Where is it going to have to take place? Not here. Because I don't know about you, but I'm busy a lot, right? What does that mean for me? That means I need to take time out of my schedule, and I need to sacrifice some things. I'm sure you're busy too, right? You got things going on. What does that mean for you? What kind of a priority should that take in your life? It might mean a sacrifice. I don't like sacrificing. Sacrificing sometimes hurts. Let's just let that sink in. And we can talk about other things next week. What do you think? Sounds good. Will you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, we need you so badly, because I think in our Western culture we have gotten to the place where we think church happens here in a building, and we've forgotten, maybe ignored the truth that we really need each other. We should be committed to serving each other and exercising our gifts of the Spirit on each other. And Lord, I pray that we do all this to proclaim your excellencies. Help us to have a voice for you. Remind us of this truth day by day. Don't let us forget it. I pray that you would help us understand, believe, and just grasp a hold of the truths of what it means to be a people called for you, for your possession, a holy nation, set apart for a particular reason. That where I am in my context, in my house, in my work, in my neighborhood, in my city, I can have a difference for you, and I should be, with those who are around me. Lord, help us to make some of those sacrifices that we need to make to serve those around us, to serve each other. God, I can't wait to see what you'll do through things like that. In Jesus' name.